WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The late director Orson Welles struggled for 4 years to make his film of Shakespeare's Othello, but shortly after it won the grand prize at the 1952 Cannes Film Festival, the movie flopped, and then, even worse, virtually disappeared. Over 3 decades later, an original negative was found in a New Jersey warehouse, and now Welles' Othello has been lovingly restored. Film critic Stephen Schiff went to see how it's held up.
Everyone knows the myth of Orson Welles, how he emerged from his success in radio to direct his first film at the age of 25, and how that film, Citizen Kane, the most amazing debut in movie history, was also the masterpiece that more or less ruined him. From then on, the story goes, his was a sorry tale of decline, until he wound up fat and unloved selling No Wine Before Its Time on TV. Well, that myth is exactly that, a myth. Citizen Kane is a stupendous film, but if you subtracted it from the Welles canon, you'd still have a body of work that places him among the greatest movie directors who ever lived. I'm talking about the man who made The Magnificent Ambersons, Touch of Evil, The Lady from Shanghai, Chimes at Midnight, and The Immortal Story, all splendid films. And add to that list Othello, too. A triumph of mood and tone, and above all, of ingenuity. Welles made Othello under such crazy conditions, in so many different locations, with so many different actors, that, as he once put it, there are scenes in which Iago changed continents in the middle of a phrase. The movie's full of shadowy, hooded figures, and sometimes the reasons are purely practical, since the actor who began the scene 1 year may have been miles away when Welles finally raised the money to finish it. A lot of the people whose faces you can't quite make out are stand-ins, and all the movie's dialogue is dubbed. Welles's Othello is severely condensed from the original Shakespeare, and purists won't like some of the changes and rearrangements of dialogue. The villain Iago, for instance, has always been something of a mystery. He's General Othello's right-hand man, but he also plots Othello's downfall by making the Moor think his innocent wife Desdemona has been unfaithful. In the end, Othello becomes so distraught that he kills her. Shakespeare's attempts to explain Iago's motives have never been very clear, but in this Othello, the villain is more mysterious than ever. Iago says he hates the Moor, and that's about as much motivation as you get. Fortunately, the Irish actor Michael McLeanmore makes a superb Iago, wheedling and epicene and seething with nameless and solitary resentment. He's the perfect foil for Welles' own heroic but somewhat bland portrayal of the Moor himself. In this scene, Iago begins sowing the seeds of jealousy, hinting that Desdemona has been having an affair with the young lieutenant Cassio. In fact, Cassio had been a go-between when Othello was courting Desdemona. Anything wrong with that, asks Othello? Or is there something not quite on the level about Cassio?
Is he not honest?
Honest, my lord?
Honest, aye, honest.
My lord, for aught I know.
What dost thou think?
Think, my lord.
Think. Thou dost mean something. I heard thee say even now thou likes not that when Cassio left my wife. If thou dost love me, show me thy thoughts.
My lord, you know I love you.
I think thou dost.
For Michael Cassio, I dare be sworn I think he's honest.
I think so too.
Men should be what they seem.
Certain men should be what they seem.
Why then I think Cassio is an honest man.
Nay, yet there's more in this.
In that scene you can hear the gist of Welles' interpretation. He's made an Othello that is almost exclusively about the way jealousy grows and consumes even the most noble mind. And the striking look of the movie serves his approach. Filming in Morocco and Italy among empty castles and cliffs, Welles has made a picture that's all air and sky and bright Mediterranean sunshine. And yet the way he uses arcades and towers and stone vaults makes the film feel ironically claustrophobic. He's showing how jealousy shrivels even the most spacious sensibility, how the demons in Othello's mind fragment his bright world and hem him in. The movie has the stark pictorial beauty of an Eisenstein film, and almost as many cuts. The editing itself is astonishingly complex, and it adds to a surrealism in the movie that may remind you of the paintings of De Chirico. In a way, the film is no more authentically Shakespearean than Verdi's opera Otello is, but who cares? This Othello is Orson Welles at very nearly his best, and it proves once again that no one was ever better.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for Vanity Fair.